As a community broadcaster, part of the remit of Cambridge 105 Radio is to bring on the next generation of engineers, journalists and presenters. That might be through visiting local schools or offering work experience and permanent placements to those who have caught the radio bug. I'm Julian Clover, and in the next hour, we'll hear from voices past and present who have joined us in the School of Radio. So I'm here in the Drive studio. I've just done the introduction to what is the last show before Christmas, and I've got a regular contributor alongside me in Ollie Slack. Hello, Ollie.
Good afternoon, Julian. You all right?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you very much. You've been with us for how long now?
Since late September, I believe, was when I got back off holiday.
And what made you want to get involved with Cambridge 105 Radio?
I just wanted to try and get some experience. I knew this year, 2017-18, I wouldn't be going to university. I have back operation, so I knew I need to get some experience. And I just thought the best place would be in broadcasting, media and journalism, anything in that would be local and in the community. So I looked online and I knew obviously the From the Terraces show from supporting Cambridge United. I got in touch with the radio station and I thought it'd be a great opportunity just to get some experience and learn my trade, I guess.
And sport's your thing, isn't it? Because in addition to supporting Cambridge United, when you're not worrying about the back, you're a keen player both of football and cricket, I think, as well.
Yeah, I finished my football last year and got to under-18s, and that's been on the sort of on the low since the back, and played cricket last year and hoping to get fit again for the season next year. So that's my goal in my head, is just to feel like a professional sportsman trying to get fit for the season.
Spending time in the commentary box in between, because you're doing the sport for us now, the sports preview on Drive on a Friday afternoon. Is sports journalism the way you want to go? Do you see a differentiation between being the reporter and being perhaps the commentator? What sort of direction would you like your career to go in?
Sport is the way for me, but I mean, I think being realistic, it's unlikely I'm going to be anyone sort of to give my opinion in terms of, for example, sitting there next to a sort of Gary Neville on Super Sunday, etc., because it's unlikely that someone who hasn't played a sport as a professional will get the chance to give their opinion. So therefore, I'll be more likely to be the one sort of asking the questions and prompting them to give a response.
In terms of radio and Cambridge 105, what would you like to do next? You've been doing the bulletins for us. Do you see yourself presenting, I don't know, one of our sports shows yourself, or maybe one of our some general daytime shows or something? What would you want to do next here?
That'd be brilliant, really. I mean, like I said, I love my time so far, and I've had a sort of a taster of being on Sunday Breakfast when I filled in for Tobias and Daniel helped out as well there. You know, sitting in and giving my opinion on From the Terrace as well. It'd be great to potentially one day like host that or host another, like you say, daytime show, whether that's sport or not, just to get the opportunity of being behind the desk. I've sat with you a couple of times to see how it goes, but I'm sure it'll be a different story when I'm actually in control of everything.
So we're sitting in front of the desk here now. How daunting is it when you, I've done this far too long now, when you first come in and you see sliders, faders, call them what you will, what sort of thoughts go through your head?
There's lots of buttons. It's the first time in my life I felt like my dad when I asked him to play on my PS4 when I was younger and he had to pick up the controller. It is a bit like that, but no, it's I'm sure I'll get the hang of it when a couple of times I'll mistake here and there, but I'm sure, you know, it'll be second nature, hopefully, if I get the chance in the future.
And while Ollie is starting out, our next voice is well on his way to a career in sports journalism. You'll remember Alistair Hunter as part of our sports team. When did you join Cambridge 105?
It was in the summer of 2012, so around the time of the Olympics. I was studying at the University of Sunderland to get a degree in sports journalism, and I had a summer to myself, so I thought I'd get involved in doing journalism in any form, and I found Cambridge 105, and I decided to speak to the people at Cambridge 105 and see if I could help at all, whether I could cover the Olympics. Spoke to Tim Willett. He introduced me to the station and got me going from there, really.
Do you think that spending the time that you did at a radio station has then gone on to help you further develop the skills as a sports journalist? Because it is the specialist field which everybody thinks they have an opinion on.
At the University of Sunderland, I realised that there wasn't one particular avenue of sports journalism that I'd like to go into. You know, you can write in short form, you can write in long form, you can do broadcast, whether that be on the TV or on the radio. And I wanted to open myself up to as many avenues as possible. And working on community radio, a station as excellent as Cambridge 105, with as many opportunities as Cambridge 105, was just a great opportunity for me to just to look into radio and see whether I like doing radio, see whether I have the skills to do radio. And I was very lucky with Cambridge 105 to be introduced to that world and to be given the opportunity to speak on radio shows. I went on to present and produce radio shows on Cambridge 105. So that really opened up broadcasting to me, and I was very fortunate in that. And to be honest, when I first went to university, I didn't really know which avenue I wanted to go down. I knew I wanted to talk about sport for a living, but whether that would be written or broadcast, I wasn't quite sure. Mm. This certainly helped me make up my mind, yeah.
And you hadn't done any radio prior to coming to Cambridge 105 Radio?
I'd done a little bit for the campus radio station in Sunderland, but that was just working on panel shows and things like that,
yeah.
Little clips here and there. I was invited in, for example, to talk about the Super Bowl on a campus sports radio show, but I had never done full shows as I ended up doing for Cambridge 105. Mm.
And is it the ability of a station, not necessarily just Cambridge 105, but stations like us, where somebody can turn up at the door and perhaps, you know, if they have the skill set, they can be quickly on air as a presenter, but along the way also learn the other elements that you need to put in to put a show together?
Absolutely, yeah. I was quite astonished by the amount of opportunities I was afforded at Cambridge 105. From just walking straight in and being given the opportunity by Tim, and pretty much everyone at the station was so welcoming and giving me the opportunity to speak on air, to put my own packages together, to go out and research and come up with my own ideas, and then eventually go on and produce shows, host shows, sit behind the desk, do pretty much everything that you could imagine you could go on and do in radio. I was afforded that opportunity in super quick time. I'm eternally grateful to Cambridge 105 for giving me those opportunities, because it really opened my eyes to what is possible, as long as you have the enthusiasm to go there and turn up and give your time to a station like Cambridge 105. They're there to give you the opportunity. So, yes, it was fantastic, my experience, really.
And what about now? Whereabouts are you working? And I guess the question one has to ask is whether or not your time at Cambridge 105 has done you any good in your further career.
Yeah, so I'm currently working for a sports memorabilia company called icons.com. We do signed shirts and photos and boots and balls and things from the world's best players. So only this weekend I was out in Barcelona at Lionel Messi's house. We were doing a signing with Lionel Messi, where he signed shirts and photos, like I say, for us to sell on our website. So my current job, I've been extremely lucky to meet some of the world's best footballers, some of the world's best sportsmen, Cristiano Ronaldo, like I say, Lionel Messi. Only the other week, we had a signing with Anthony Joshua, the boxer. I've met some incredible people. Honestly, having Cambridge 105 on my CV was a talking point in my interview for this job. It really put home that I was into sport, that I love sport, that I was always willing to do new things, try new things. I would say it definitely helped. Being able to talk to people about football and knowing your stuff about all sorts of sports always helps in a job in this sort of industry. So, yeah, it certainly helped.
Next, here's another new name who's been joining me on Drive, Lucy Milazzo. What made you want to come and get involved with a radio station?
I would say it came from the fact that I've always really enjoyed radio as like my most favourite output media. I'm really into podcasting at the moment. I love listening to podcasts. I kind of think I'd love to have my own podcast. A couple of months ago, I sort of found that I had a lot of time on my hands, and I was looking for things to do to keep me just from watching daytime TV all day long. And so I was looking around volunteering opportunities in Cambridge, and I found that Cambridge 105 came up.
And had you listened to us before?
I had listened a little bit before. I've always seen, you know, the banner around, like on the Mill Road Winter Fair and the Strawberry Fair. And actually, I looked at the website and I couldn't believe the scope of programmes that was all going on. And I just thought, well, this could work for me. So I fired off an email and was completely thrilled when I got an email from you, Julian.
That was me, wasn't it?
It was you, yeah, inviting me down. I think it was like the next couple of days I came down and we had a chat. I think we were chatting in the middle of one of your shows, a Drive Time show, and I was kind of scared to talk because I thought, aren't we on the radio? And I had to like look out for the red light and everything.
Yeah, there's a red light above us here, is what you always have to watch for, just so you know.
That was it. I think we were just having a chat. I remember you said to me, so, Lucy, you must go out and about a bit in Cambridge, don't you? And I was like, yes, Julian, I do. And from there, I've been doing your top five things on Friday's evenings,
which
I've been loving. Yes.
But you kind of, from my side of the desk, you kind of know. You can either do radio or you can't, which is one of my highly elaborate theories. Half of them are invariably wrong. If somebody can't do radio, that's it. They're done for. But if you can do it, you can do your best to make somebody better and bring them on. And something like the What's Ons is something harmless. It's somebody who you know can, you know, they're going to be able to get on and do other stuff later. But it's a good starting point so that you can effectively get over nerves. And you do you do get nerves by simply being on. If you don't get nerves, that's almost dangerous in itself, really.
In fact, I came down the following Friday with my top five for you, and I think I handed it to you, and you were like, no, go sit yourself behind the microphone, we'll do this in 10 minutes. And I just kind of looked at you and thought, wait a minute, you're letting me go on the radio, okay, this could go one of two bad, like two ways, and like you say, never do it again, or okay, that wasn't too bad. And thankfully it wasn't too bad. It's just been great. I've been really enjoying it.
My next question was going to be, were we what you were expecting? But given your answer to the last question, I suspect possibly not.
No, it's I have loved the fact that I sent off an email and then I walked through the door and everyone's just like, yep, come take a seat. It's been great.
Cambridge 105 Radio. This is School of Radio, speaking to the voices of tomorrow, who have learnt their craft with us at the Gwydir Street Studios. As you've heard, Ollie joined us in what for him is effectively a gap year, and Lucy wanted to expand her skills in an area she loved. For Louise Wilson, it was an opportunity that presented itself during an extended stay in hospital.
I'd been interested in doing some radio for some time. We're going back quite a number of years, and I did originally apply to do some work over at Addenbrookes Hospital radio. For some reason, it kind of flagged up in my head again. I thought, oh gosh, I'm actually here on the grounds, so to speak. Why don't I try and get involved with Radio Addenbrookes again? But whilst I was in hospital, the sort of department, you know, where I was staying, they handed out these leaflets and they had various courses on the leaflets. Oddly enough, what should come up but a sort of a basic radio course or whatever. So I was like, goodness me, that's so strange. But I thought, well, yeah, let's go for it. And also part of that, I suppose, was not just my interest, but it was also getting out of hospital.
I guess it's just part of why they do these things. If somebody is in for an extended stay and, you know, they need to be, if you like, under hospital guard at all times.
Well,
but at the same time, like anybody else, you need to get out and about.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, the course itself was run by Recovery College East. They're there for all sorts of different reasons. Part of it's to do with building your confidence and kind of getting back out. And also, if you've been locked away, so to speak, in hospital for a while or whatever, it's kind of getting out and just doing something a bit different as well, just kind of breaking the cycle of the schedule that you're in. Kind of.
I remember some management meeting here or other, you know, the request came in from them, you know, would you be willing to open up your studios for, I forget how many, half a dozen or so afternoons? It's like, can we do this? Well, I suppose if we move this around that. And so we did. It's, you know, it's part of the remit, really.
Well,
ordinarily we'd do the training ourselves, but we've got the facility here. We had somebody who was running this course who seemed reasonably confident in how everything worked and the way
it
went.
I think he'd actually been here before, the gentleman who was running it. We came over a few afternoons to kind of get used to the equipment and see how it all worked and was put together, and we had a go at making a little radio show of our own, which we'd planned.
And had you done any radio specifically beforehand?
No, I mean, the thing was, the course itself, to be honest with you, when I first kind of went along to it, I was a bit like, oh, I was sort of surrounded by lots of very different people, and it just seemed like, what am I going to get out of this? I wasn't really sure, because we had no radio equipment there, and it was kind of like, oh, well, you can say this on radio and you can't say that, you know, there was all that sort of stuff. And it really, the first one felt like, I wasn't really sure about it, but equally at the same time, I was like, I'm getting out of the ward, so it's fine. We came down to the studios, we had a go, and really, you and myself bumped into each other in the green room, because there was sort of a group of us.
I remember you were the one who were asking the questions that were relatively intelligent. You know, they were a slightly higher level than everybody else, but they came with a sort of an interest and or knowledge of radio and how it worked. And that these little things tend to stick out.
I think it's because I'm possibly because I'm just such a fan of radio. I think radio is one of those mediums that it doesn't interfere. You know, you can have it on and you can be doing your own thing. Television, you've got to sit there and watch it, you know, if you're going to get anything out of it. But radio is one of those things that is just there for you, and it's almost like it keeps you company because, you know, it's in your home. And I think that's such a privilege of being a presenter as well, actually, is that you are in people's homes with them sort of on quite a personal level. We met and Phil was here as well at the
time.
Phil Rowe. Yes. And it was actually at the end of that session, because Phil was in doing his show afterwards, he just happened to say, and I think he was standing in as well, so I think it was a Monday, he was standing in, so it wasn't even his normal show, and he just happened to say, I've got a slot free on Wednesday if anyone's interested. I had no idea what he was wanting, and I just went, yeah, go on then.
What did he want?
He wanted someone to interview, but I didn't know at the time. I was just like, yeah, I'm free. So I sort of got a bit of time out. I said to the guys at hospital, I said, look, would you mind if I did this? And they said, no, that's fine. It's part of the course, etc. So I came down on the Wednesday morning, and he actually interviewed me. He interviewed me about why I was in hospital. So from that, he then just said to me, look, I can't sort of take you on, kind of thing, but, you know, I'm happy if you want to pop down, you know, Sunday mornings. He was doing breakfast at the time, you know, just kind of get used to being in the studios, really, and get used to seeing what kind of went on.
And it's a good way, which I think a lot of people benefit from. You can't hang around forever because it gets boring.
Yeah.
You know, you're not doing the show and you're getting itchy feet, and, you know, there's only so many times you can see somebody else, you know, reading the travel or playing the ads or whatever. But the people who usually benefit, they're not the people who bounce through the door and say, I want to be a DJ. They're people who want to learn a little bit of everything. And that's one of the Cambridge 105 things. You get it to a certain extent, of course, in the BBC as well. But here, you have to be able to do a little bit of everything. You have to produce yourself is the first thing. But you have to go out, as you've done, and do some interviews. You have to do a music show. You have to do this and that.
Absolutely. And what then happened from there? I think part of it was showing a keenness, you know, a sort of an enthusiasm helped as well. And then Phil just said to me, he said, you know, would you fancy doing the paper review? So it started at that point. And I think from there, I think you were listening, and then there was a sort of an email exchange. Oh, you know, that sounded all right. The doors just kept opening for me from that point onwards. So I was like, would you want to try doing this, and do you want to try doing that? And it kind of snowballed from there. And I think at some point someone said to me, do you fancy doing 105 today? And I think it was yourself, Julian. And I was like, what's that? And then I came in, and I have been asked by other people around the studio as well, how did you do that? And I just said, at some point you kind of just have to, you know, you have to kind of throw caution to the wind and throw yourself in and
I think,
because otherwise you never learn.
In a larger stuff, probably not even a larger station these days, the route might have been, here we are, Louise, can you do 1 till 4 on Sunday morning? And that would have been, you know, the slot which was offered for the first time. But, you know, most radio stations don't have a 1 to 4 slot. As a community radio station, we can't afford to sit somebody and let them do 20 pilot. If we have faith in somebody, throw them on air, give them a producer for the first couple of shows. Myself, Tim or Neil might sit in just to make sure that everything goes and you follow. And 105 today is relatively structured.
I think
it's a good starting point to then, as you've done, to go out the longer morning and afternoon shows.
Yeah, really strange actually, because when I first came in and did those, you were sitting in with me at the time. It was helpful because there was a sort of a support there, but I have to say, once you left me to my own devices, it was slightly easier in the sense that you could then concentrate on what you were doing. Once you had the basic idea of where everything was and whatever, even if you made a mistake, there was an element of at least you were focused on doing it rather than worrying about someone else being there. Now it's different because I think as you go on, it becomes a bit like driving a car. Once you know, I'm happy. In fact, I love having people in the studio with me. It's really, really nice. And as you say, also, then there was that going out and doing the interviews. And again, my starting point really was the Eat Festival in the May of that year. I went down there and I was really nervous about kind of interviewing people because I was thinking, oh, how do I do this? Because I've not had any real training as such. But I think that's kind of hopefully improved as time gone on, but I think the key point is to be interested.
Like Louise, Rebecca Newman-Matthews is now a regular voice on our magazine show 105 Today, but it was her love of the Cambridge music scene that first piqued her interest.
I remember being at college, I was at Cambridge Regional College, and I started looking at local bands and local gigs I could go to at the Junction, things like that, and then I came across Cambridge 105.
And how old were you at that time?
So that would have been 16, 17.
Okay. So Cambridge 105, you found Tim, did you, with the New Music Generator?
Yeah, it must have been Tim, that's the first show I started listening to on Cambridge 105. Yeah, religiously, I'd listen to that every week to get in the know of things.
Yeah, so that was kind of, if you like, a double entry, really, both in terms of discovering new artists who you could go and see performing, and at the same time thinking, oh, yes, OK, there's a radio station out there, and this part, at least, is for me.
Yeah, exactly. There'd be the gig guide, and then I'd go along to a couple of them, and then obviously discovering new bands, their music.
Do you think for somebody of your age, you're obviously going to gigs, that goes without saying, but the radio part of things, do people listen to the radio to discover new bands in the same way I would have done 20, 25 years ago plus?
I think it is different nowadays. I think for me, I would go to radio, but maybe that's just because I love it.
Yeah.
But I think for other people, obviously, online is so huge now, and apps like, you know, Spotify and all those, I think people tend to go to them maybe to look at new music.
So tell us about the sort of the entry, if you like, into radio through Cambridge 105. You spoke initially to Tim, and I think you were doing some interviews, weren't you, with some of the bands?
Yeah, so I got in contact with Tim and I went on his show, and he said, do you fancy doing interviews at the Fiver at the Junction every month or so for the show? So yeah, I'd go along to that, go down there and interview the bands, and then they'd be played out on Tim's show, and I'd sit in again on his show, listen in. So that's kind of how it all started.
Yeah. I guess that's a sort of a classic way of entering in, really, through something which you know and love and enjoy. So you're not worrying about the knowledge of the bands because you have that already, because you were going to the gigs. Through that, you're able to concentrate on the interview side and the radio skills.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously, I knew of the bands, but didn't really know them as such, so it was good to meet them as well.
That then branched out into doing other things for the station. What sort of programmes and shows did you then move on to?
So after that, I was on Drive, and did the What's On a Friday afternoon and for the weekend.
Yeah,
weekend
that's a classic entry point, really, for this station, really. It's just and then obviously from that, they're soon on to other things.
Yeah, so from there, 105 Today, and then obviously still do that now. And then I went on to doing NMG, covering that with Tim. And number two this week, Shire, and that was their track Hideout. It's their 16th week in the chart. Oh, they're edging towards that 20-week mark. They're indie rock band, female-fronted, four-piece indie rock band, and that track is available on Reverb Nation. And you can find them on Facebook. Just search for facebook.com/Shire Band. Which leads us to this week's number one. It is, of course, Christmas number one, and it comes from
the unsigned chart, number one, number one.
Saving Scarlett, This Is By My Side.
That's good. You're the first person that Tim has allowed to present the actual show itself. It's kind of nerve-wracking in itself,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, big take on that.
Mm. And how does that compare then? Because at CRC, Cambridge Regional College, there's Core Radio, isn't there? And you were involved with that for a while. And you've also, now that you're in Nottingham at uni, you've also started to do some radio there as well. So
yeah, it's definitely different. At Cambridge Regional College, we were, you know, we could do whatever we wanted on the station. Obviously, we had the news and things like that. But my show was a kind of a new music show there, or what I tried, you know, to do, because that was the first ever time I was really on radio doing my own show as such. Yeah, in Nottingham, I do the local music show. So I guess similar-ish to NMG, but in Nottingham, I have like a local band on, things like that. So.
Now, in theory, you're in Nottingham to study. How long are you into that now?
I am, yeah. So I'm at Nottingham Trent University and I'm in my second year, broadcast journalism.
So what do they teach you there?
So there is quite news-based. We do practical, so radio, television, but then we also do a lot of law, you know, journalism and law and
ethics. Make sure you don't upset anybody.
Exactly.
At least don't upset the solicitor, which is possibly the main yes. objective.
And this year we've also got global journalism and sports journalism. We do that this year.
Okay, so they're gradually sort of building up your skill set.
Exactly.
Do you think that being at Cambridge 105 has... Well, first of all, did it encourage you to do this? Or was that something, a path you were kind of going on anyway?
I mean, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I didn't know if I wanted to go to university or not. But I think Cambridge 105 definitely gave me that push, you know, thinking I do want to do radio and I need the next step forward. So, yeah.
And the skills that you've learnt here, have they actually been of use to you in Nottingham?
Definitely, I think so. I think more confident in first joining the radio station there and then being a part of that, I think that definitely helped.
Yeah, what about the future then? How long have you got to go now? Another 18 months or...?
Yeah, about that. Yeah, it doesn't seem very long now, so yeah.
Halfway through?
Yeah, so we finish in early June and then I'll be in third and final year.
And what do you do then? What's the plan? Do you want to go into, I don't know, BBC, commercial radio? Hopefully you'll hang around here a little bit.
Well, I don't know. I mean, BBC would be the dream, but I suppose there's so many different stations out there doing kind of things I like. So I don't know. I'm not sure yet.
Andy Lake was one half of Andy and Christian. He's also written and starred in his own TV sitcom, read the travel news on radio in the South and East, and is now one of four former 105 presenters who can be heard on BBC Radio Cambridgeshire. Andy, unlike some of our other guests, you'd done some radio before you came to Cambridge 105.
That's right.
And that was for student radio. Whereabouts?
Yes, at University Radio York, up north.
Which is one of the big ones, isn't it? I think a few relatively famous people have passed through their turntables.
And, you know, I think I'm pretty sure it was the first. It's the oldest student radio station. I mean, I know that a lot of cities claim to have lots of first everythings, but I'm pretty sure that University Radio York was... It was formed in the 1960s. I'm pretty sure it was the first one.
And what sort of stuff did you do for them?
Well, I hadn't even considered radio as a career at all until my second year of university, and I started off as a co-host on a show. It was this young guy who I met on a night out, essentially, and he said, you're quite funny, so do you want to do the radio with me? And that is, actually thinking about it, really forward and quite strange that the next week we were on air pretending to be friends, and actually I'd only ever met him once before. But he is now, you know, one of my very dearest and best friends. So I started off doing mostly entertainment with him. We did a couple of outdoor broadcasts from people's... I think the favourite thing we did whilst on that station was we held a competition with the listeners, and the prize was to have a Valentine's Day meal in your own house, cooked by me, and then you'd have the date with the other presenter, and it would all be broadcast live on Valentine's Day. And the whole student station came along to this person's front room and set up all these microphones and desks. And it was absolutely fantastic. It was a lot of fun.
And you were award-winning during your time at Student Radio in York.
Yes, I never won a gold. I never won a gold. And actually, the guy who I hosted with, he was a year younger than me, and he did. So he stayed for a year longer than me, and he did win a gold without me. So maybe I was the weak link. But no, we were the third best entertainment show.
You scooped bronze.
We scooped bronze, and we scooped silver for best new show, best newcomers. So it wasn't too bad.
So it was after you left York and came or returned to Cambridge that you joined us at Cambridge 105.
That's right. The first thing I did for you was the Tour de France when that came through Cambridge. Myself and Catherine Ganjakowski were the presenters.
Who's at BBC Radio Cambridge here, or has been at
she
least?
She has been. She's not since I've been there. I think she's at either Northampton or Three Counties. We were up near the Tesco's, what is it? It's a Waitrose on...
In Trumpington.
On Trumpington, exactly. We were up near there. And they came past and we were the reporters there. And that was the first thing I did for 105. Yeah.
And then afterwards, your partnership with Christian.
That's right.
Friday afternoons, which went for a year or so?
Yes, it was just over a year Christian and I did that. So when I was at university, Christian and I went to university together. And while I was hosting this, you know, co-hosting this other show with my friend Harry, Christian and I thought, well, actually, you know, we could do one as well. So I would do one show a week with Harry and one show a week with Christian.
So Christian was with you in York as well?
He was, yes. Okay. It's all quite complicated, but yes, he was there as well. And I knew him from sixth form. So Christian and I went to university together. Yes, Christian and I came to Cambridge 105 having done about, I'd say, 10 to 15 shows of our own up at university in York.
And what would you say the differences are between presenting on a community / local radio station like Cambridge 105 Radio?
Sure.
And being on student radio? Do you feel you have to be more responsible?
I'm sure that people...
At times.
I'm sure... At times, correct. I'm sure that people who listened to mine and Christian's show would disagree that... I think they'd find it hard to believe that we were ever completely responsible or mature. And I've certainly had to do a lot of growing up in my jobs that have come since. But I suppose the thing that I really learnt was that on student radio shows, you have certain special shows that do maybe 60s or 70s or whatever. But I... at university did a lot of stuff that was in the charts, and it was all very upbeat, and it was a lot of fun. And it was just, well, one show, my show with Christian was an hour, my show with Harry was two, but the hour show in particular was just this 1 hour bang, here we go, let's play as many songs as we can, do as many features as we can in 1 hour, and then we collapse at the end of the hour. And it was all towards a student audience. That was the biggest difference, coming here and getting messages in from regular listeners who are a lot older than I am. And I'd never sort of broadcast or even thought about broadcasting to an audience that wasn't my age and maybe didn't get my own reference points. But coming here, it was
and that's a tricky thing, isn't it?
Is
being able to... I'm 51 these days, which is probably the right age to be broadcasting on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Yes.
Arguably, you know, we know we're probably younger than the BBC, older than Star, for example, in terms
yes.
of the kind of people
that's
who
exactly
at
right.
least interact with the station. So
yes.
the reference point is important. You do it in conversation. You can mention some kids' show, and then
yes.
you suddenly realise the person you're talking to hasn't seen it, largely because they were minus 15 when you were watching
exactly.
it.
Exactly. It is difficult, and I think that a lot of stations are starting to wise up to the fact that people who are actually in their 20s and 30s now are actually... I think they're starting to utilise them a lot more on stations that are used or listened to by slightly older demographics, because they realise, well, actually, we're starting to maybe alienate a big portion of our audience.
So Cambridge 105 gave you focus, if you like, in order to
exactly.
work out what my audience is,
yes.
what I need to do. Did you feel then after a few months in, you had to adjust what you were doing a little bit, just to make sure you were hitting the demographic, as a marketing person might say?
I think, by and large, that's correct. I'm sure that there were a few people who we alienated. It's almost impossible to please everyone. But what was really nice was quite a lot of the older listeners would come up on the message board and they'd say that it's nice to listen to people, young people, having fun. You know, they do like listening to people much younger than them having a good time and bringing them up to date. And I think particularly with the technology boom and social media, it was a young person's thing, and now it seems everybody has Facebook and whatever. And I think because of
apart
that...
Apart from the young, I think, sometimes
apart, yeah,
on
apart
Facebook.
Apart from the young, that's very true. I've got quite a few older friends on Facebook than myself, and they seem to be using it a lot more than I do. I feel like... You know, they like to be brought up to date, whereas younger people not so keen on going back, if that makes sense.
One of the things which interests me about the way your career has moved post-Cambridge 105, you left us, of course, to go to Inrix, which is the company which provides travel news for us at Cambridge 105.
And LBC's travel reporter Andy Lake joins us. So it's been a busy night for you, I know. Let's deal with London first of all. How's the snow been affecting things?
That's right, Clive. Thanks very much. Yeah, well, the worst snow is across South London and Surrey and Kent. Snow is still falling across parts of London as well. There's severe delays anti-clockwise on the M25 between Junction 10 for the A3 and Junction 6 for Godstone. Clockwise Junction 8 for Reigate. The exit slip is closed there as well. A handful of cars are stuck.
And then you went to, most recently, you've been at BBC Radio Cambridgeshire.
Yes.
And you can switch on your radio in the mornings and hear you reading the news. Now, that's a complete contrast from being wacky.
Yes.
On a Friday afternoon on Cambridge 105. How did you make that adjustment?
I mean, what's quite fun, when I was at university, I went to study writing and acting, and I feel like, although radio isn't supposed to be a performance, I think everybody, when they go on air, there's a slight sort of, oh, here we go. It's just there's a slight turn, a slight performance to it. And I feel like it was difficult for me, I'll be honest. You are quite right, and I'm sure that a few people, particularly people who probably don't know me personally, but who maybe have heard me on Cambridge 105, they're probably quite surprised that now I am the level-headed voice of news on our local BBC station.
But I heard an interview with Nicholas Parsons, who is known predominantly these days for Just a Minute. Back in the 70s, he did a game show on ITV, Sale of the Century, and I heard him talking about how he first did Sale of a Century and then, well, sort of ran about the same time, Just a Minute, and he simply said, I'm an actor, I get into character, and I have one character for Sale of the Century and another character who does Just a Minute.
I think
and it's that kind of thing, and the BBC
sort of thing,
used to use actors way into the 1980s to read the news on television. Moira Stewart, the last of the actor newsreaders.
Yes, yeah, and she is tremendous.
She's brilliant.
But I think, you know, I don't want to make anyone think that I am acting at all. You know, radio is a very personal thing, and I am.
No, but you have to deliver the lines.
You have to get the emphasis
on the right words.
Exactly, you need the empathy and the pathos and everything, and then for the more upbeat stuff, you have to, you know, almost say it with a smile to get that across as well. So that's helped me. Interestingly, when I joined, I've got to be, you know, careful about what I say, I suppose, about a lot of things at BBC Cambridgeshire, past and future as well. But when I first joined there, they said that this is a bit of a gamble getting me on, because usually they will hire a journalist and train them to talk. Whereas for me, this is on day, you know, I'd only come in through the door about 10 minutes previously to this. They say, with you, we like your voice, so we're going to train you to do journalism. So I think that's very different to what they to what they normally do. And, you know, I still have to pinch myself, because, you know, I am the breakfast newsreader on my local BBC station, and not just anyone, the one in Cambridgeshire, where I grew up. So it's an absolute dream come true. I don't have any journalism qualifications. I've learned entirely on the job, which is the best way to do it. And I must say the training's been absolutely top notch. But it is an interesting way of doing it.
The curiosity, of course, at the other end of the day, you have Jess Foster, another ex-Cambridge 105 person.
That's right.
It's like a takeover. We'll gradually take over most of the BBC this way.
And Jess is a couple of years younger than me as well, so they've certainly got...
And she's done journalism training.
And she has done journalism. Exactly. So I've... Yeah, exactly. That's right. So she is, you know, really hot on stuff like that. I'm used on air quite a lot in a non-newsy way, which I really enjoy, but I do have to remember that I am also supposed to be the voice of news, so you've got to rein it in a bit, I suppose. But yes, what's really nice is Jess and I are coming back to do a show here on 105, our Cambridge 105 radio. So that's really, two ex-members of the station, which is lovely, and we get on very well.
Yeah, it's good to hear that. And what about the future then? So do you stay newsreading for a little while? Do you see yourself maybe doing the occasional fill-in presenting role at the BBC or something else entirely?
I mean, you know, again...
Bearing in mind, the station manager could be listening
exactly,
at this point.
I have to be a bit... We have had discussions and you know, he's very happy with what I'm doing with the news, which is great. We did have a conversation which, you know, went something along the lines of, actually, you're probably better suited to entertainment than you are to news, so we're going to experiment a bit in the new year and sort of see what happens. And, you know, I can't disagree with that. There are aspects of the job that I'm doing now that I absolutely love, and I must consider myself lucky because I'm sure that many, many people would wish to be doing it. But I think in terms of the immediate future, we carry on doing that and we totally sort of crack journalism and news reading and that, and then sort of looking ahead, I wouldn't be surprised if we return to entertainment.
Andy can be heard reading the morning news bulletins on BBC Radio Cambridgeshire. The afternoon shift belongs to another former Cambridge 105 voice. Jess Foster was a regular on Drive alongside her twin sister, Carly. I seem to remember being told by Tim that you just turned up at an outside broadcast and said hello. Now, is that true? And if so, where was it?
I'll hand this over to Carly Foster because she was the one there.
Oh, you didn't do it together?
No, Carly was at Strawberry Fair and she met you guys there, and then she brought me in as her twin sister.
No. We met Cambridge 105 by emailing Tim, and then we were sitting on his drive time show.
So it was an email exchange.
So it was an email exchange where we emailed Tim asking for some radio experience when we ended up sitting on his drive time show every Wednesday.
Yeah, we wanted to do a radio show at our sixth form college and persuaded Tim and reading the news on his drive time show, then Julian's, to have a radio show.
Tim became Julian. So.
That was way back, let me think. I joined in 2012 and I did Sunday breakfast for the first year. So Tim was still doing Drive at that point. So 2011, 2012?
It was January 2012, I think.
And then you made the decision to let the twins on your radio.
Who did that? It was Tim's decision, obviously.
Yeah, Tim decided to let us help out with the news bulletins.
This is Community Radio for Cambridge.
Cambridge 105.
We got 3 hours left of my final drive time show coming up. Odd News, the weekend sports roundup and the Christmas entertainment guide.
Stand by for another 2 hours of drive time radio.
On 105 Drive.
Reforms for Britain's banks should be tougher according to the Parliamentary Commission on Banking Standards. The government have put together a bill which would make banks better at dealing with losses.
And in sport, Histon Football Club have been fined £5,000 with most of it suspended for 3 years. The club have been punished by the Football Conference for failing to travel to a game last month.
And then we started sitting in with you, Julian, and
yeah, it feels very weird to be back here. Was it 5 years ago now we would start off here arguing over who's doing the 4 and 6?
Well, that was the thing.
Yeah.
And we got you both on the same day.
Yes.
You look pretty much alike.
We're a package deal. Can you tell us who's who now, Julian?
You are Jess speaking now, and next to you is Carly.
Yeah. Can you tell the difference with our voice?
Well, I've got something I'd like to try on that, actually.
Okay.
And maybe we should... we'll do that in a moment or two. It was always the struggle, at least initially, of remembering which was which. There's always the danger of saying, now here's the news read by one of the twins.
Yeah. And then when we sort of stuck to the stereotypical twin thing, when we eventually had our own shows... and we called it 2 for 1.
It's a great
and
show.
I remember that show. It got quite a lot of hits, actually, that show. That was good.
Yeah,
but
was
I think we had Julian behind us making sure we were okay.
leaping across the desk at a moment's notice.
But
when you sent that email off to Tim, had you decided at that point that radio is the career that you wanted?
Yeah, I think it's because we had a little bit of a work experience at Star and we kind of liked the idea of being on the radio and broadcasting. And and 105 was really the first chance that we really had a hands-on experience with radio. And
I like talking to people, like socialising, meeting new people. So I always thought the media and radio was the career for me, and Cambridge 105 allowed me to do that.
Yeah.
So after 105, you did the uni thing and you were split.
Yes.
You were split up at opposite ends of the country as well.
We were no longer the Foster twins. We were Carly and Jess, which was really strange because I didn't have Jess to follow around, and I pretty much throughout college had her to lean on with help with things. But it was the best thing that we could have done, to be honest, because I think being a twin and then going separate ways opposite ends of the country was difficult, but it made us closer in the long run.
And Carly, where did you go to?
I'm still live in Manchester. I live in Altrincham in Cheshire at the moment, and I'm sort of in Salford and I work for Newsround. And Jess?
I went down to Bournemouth to study journalism, multimedia journalism. Oh, love Bournemouth. It was the best place ever to study. I still miss it. It's in my heart.
It's by the seaside and everything.
By the seaside. But I got a great degree, got my NCTJ journalism qualification. So went all the way down to Bournemouth, as far as part of Carly as I could. And yeah, now I'm back working for BBC Radio Cambridgeshire in Cambridge as the newsreader.
I should just say, I did actually study at university as well. I didn't just get the job at Newsround. I did do a BA Honours in Journalism Broadcast at Salford University, and I did the NCTJ as well.
These days, there's a big BBC presence, isn't there, up in Salford ITV, yeah, as well, for that matter, but particularly with the BBC,
yeah,
because they took the decision to move children's programmes up there. Was that an advantage that they were nearby to the university? Do lots of people just basically go from Salford University, waving their honours degree in the air and turning up at the BBC?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I first had my work experience with Newsround in my first year of university, so I had to really keep sort of in contact with them in order to get the job at the end of it, which really paid off. So for 2.5 years, I was sort of in contact with them. And I definitely think my choosing of Salford was to do with what's around the university than the actual university itself.
Yeah, you've been to Blue Peter, you're off to Five Live in the new year as well.
Yeah, so I throughout university I got lots of different work experience. I had work experience at Newsround, like I said. I had work experience at a radio station called Key 103, which is a commercial radio station for Bauer Radio. So then I got lots of experience with that, interviewing people, a lot of showbiz experience actually, which was really good, gave me a lot of radio reporting, red carpet experience.
She's interviewed Simon Cowell.
Yes.
I've heard of him.
Yes. This year was very good because I got to do Take That and the Soap jealous. Awards at the red carpet, so that was brilliant. So I think at the end of it, it was the experience that got me the job. As much as I loved university, you needed that extra things to help you to get the job.
Now, am I right in thinking that at Salford you got newsreading training from a BBC person?
Yeah, well, a lot of the lecturers are working in the industry. So in my first year was Paul Lockett, who's the news breakfast news editor for Key 103. So he sort of helped me get into Key 103. But a lot of your lecturers work in the industry. So my radio lecturer worked at Five Live. My TV lecturer worked for Granada Reports, which is the equivalent to...
it's a local news bulletin, isn't it? On
Anglia.
On Anglia, yeah. That's what it's called these days. I'm always here, I never get to see it.
So they did support you in that sense. I'm working on TV at the moment, but I do miss radio.
I was down in Bournemouth, and so what I did was I got involved with BBC Solent there, and I had some lecturers from BBC Solent training me for my news bulletins. So I was persistent and said, can you give me some training? So she did like one or two off sessions with me as well. But she also trained us all as a class from BBC Solent. So I got involved with BBC Solent and also did some ITV Meridian down there and some TV work.
Is Fred Dynage still there?
Yes, he is.
Gosh.
Yes, Fred Dynage.
97, the oldest TV. Actually, he might be the longest serving regional presenter in the country, I would have thought.
And he's very nice as well. He's very down to earth and nice. He's not one of those presenters that leave all the producers to do all the work. He was very much involved.
Oh, there are some,
work.
Are there?
There, yeah. Can be divas.
Okay, which we possibly better not discuss for legal reasons.
So, yeah, I got some work there. I also did some work at Sky News. So even though I was down in Bournemouth, you know, there wasn't too much going on compared to the likes of Manchester Media City, it was still getting the contacts, going to... Sky
we
News.
We both did Sky News, though, didn't we? We both did Sky News. We both did work experience at Radio Cambridge. We both obviously with 105.
Yeah.
I did my Key 103, you did your bits.
So you weren't separated that much, really.
No. We both did the same.
What I'm trying to figure out is whether or not you still sound the same on the radio. So I've got a news bulletin here, clip from it. And
See, Jess reads it all the time, so she'll be better than me.
Oh, I see.
This is
unfair. Okay, so here's a news bulletin I prepared earlier. Just a short piece.
And I prepared earlier.
I want to see if you still sound alike. So I think we should make Jess go first, as you're doing it regularly. Let's see how you sound.
Okay, I haven't had any practice, so I mean, reading it this paragraph.
Okay.
Practice. Okay, ready. Cambridge Science Centre, which provides science, technology, education and mathematics education for children, has received a £1,000 donation from Amazon's local development centre. The charity, which is currently moving to a new location in Cambridge, plans to use the donation to fund its Street Science Initiative, a new public programme which will operate free pop-up science activities across Cambridge to engage children in so-called STEM learning.
Right, I was about to say, Miss Foster, you go, but Jess would probably end up doing it again, so Carly.
Cambridge Science Centre, which provides science, technology, education and mathematics education for children, has received a £1,000 donation from Amazon's local development centre. The charity, which is currently moving to a new location in Cambridge, plans to use the donation to fund its Street Science Initiative, a new public programme which will operate free pop-up science activities across Cambridge to engage children in so-called STEM learning.
You see, that's the thing. You sound different, completely different now. We wouldn't know even related, let alone twins.
Good.
on that. Both beautifully read, but very different. The style is something, because before we used to both look and sound identical.
I guess it's the 4 years apart that has caused us to
I'm starting to sound northern, I think.
is that the problem?
Well, you're not a regular newsreader, so in a sense, I don't.
You've put on a very BBC voice.
I don't put on a voice. Yes, I just talk how I talk.
Cambridge Science Centre.
Well, obviously, you talk differently reading the news than you would slightly in casual conversation. I thought you had a deeper voice than me.
I think I do a little bit.
Does she? I don't know. What do you think, Julian? What's the teacher saying?
Let the listener decide, I think, on that
Hello.
One.
Hello.
So what happens next, then? Jess, are you at... I don't need the full details of your contract, but you think you're either at Radio Cambridge or elsewhere within the BBC local radio network for a little while? Or have you got something that you might want to do in a few years' time?
I'm either going to stay locally, maybe progress to Look East and go on to television, or do some reports for all the different platforms, Cambridgeshire, Look East and online. I would like to be multi-platform in my coverage. But I do love radio, so I'm not sure. I would love to work for Radio 4, Women's Hour. I'd love to work for them. Maybe the One Show one day. One Show or the New Victoria Derbyshire. Hey, that's a really good aim, the New Victoria Derbyshire. I'd love to do that.
You could do the One Show. They seem to have a revolving door of presenters for that. Every time I turn on, it's somebody different. So next time I watch, it'll probably be you doing it.
We could do it together, Carly.
Yeah, that would be brilliant. I don't think you've had two twin hosts, so I hope to keep climbing the ladder at Newsround, if not another production. I've just done 2 weeks at Blue Peter working on their Children in Need programme, so that was brilliant. Really nice team, and it was really good to do something actually different that wasn't involved with news, because I'm so used to news and reporting and telling a story, whereas Blue Peter does the story, do you know what I mean? So, like, I'm so used to actually telling a story, whereas Blue Peter is more about showing kids that, you know, they can do things that kids only dream of in their wildest dreams through the lives of the presenters, and they do stuff. So that was really cool. But no, I just want to sort of work my way up in.
Is it strange? Like, you must have watched Blue Peter when you were younger.
I think it was
strange.
When Simon was on it, and Connie.
And the guy from The One Show. And Matt.
And Matt Baker.
Yeah.
Liz Barker at all?
And a bit of Liz. Yeah, working my way up kids TV, but then at the same time I love to sort of do what Jess is doing and doing some broadcast journalist work. But who knows what the future holds.
Maybe we can help each other.
Yeah.
Well, you've got a long way ahead in your career. Do you think about us sometimes?
Yes. I do
all the time. I it's nice being back to 105, I think you're sort of a nice close-knit family and always welcoming us back, which is really nice.
And of course we've got partnership now, BBC Cambridgeshire with Cambridge 105 with you guys.
We have the old news exchange, which seems to work relatively well. At least I haven't been reprimanded yet by anybody at the BBC. That's good.
Oh no, but the good old days, reading the news, having our shows, getting involved in the outside broadcast. Also, we went along to a primary school with Tim in Water Beach. And throughout our time here and helped younger children get involved with radio, which was quite fun.
Yeah, because that's one of the things, really, and the fact that during the course of these interviews for this programme, you know, we've interviewed people who are just starting out as well here, so it's possible that they'll hopefully take the same path which you've taken these past few years.
Yeah, hopefully they do. Cambridge 105 is great for that, and it really did help me out with my news bulletins, and it got me into university, which got me the work experience, which got me the job.
I just want to say how tough it is in network, though. I'm just saying it's really, really tough, and especially with getting that first job, don't expect knockbacks, because that's what's going to happen, and you just got to keep strong and keep hard working and to keep trying to get that dream, because it's not an easy journey.
it's harder network level than it is.
Yeah, like I sometimes think, is it better to go locally and work up, but then at the same time, is it better to start like I did, well, I still am low, but in the network national news, because
we're both doing the two different options.
Yeah, it's hard, but I think at the end of the day, it's all what you put in, and it's all to do with your determination and drive and how long you want to sort of wait and keep on at getting your dream, really.
Yeah, keep nagging everyone. That's the way.
And you can hear Jess Foster and Andy Lake in a special programme on Boxing Day afternoon at 1 p.m. It may be that this last hour has got you thinking, so if you or someone you know would like to join us, do get in touch. It's not just presenters, newsreaders or engineers that we need. Like any volunteer organisation, we want people just to keep things going. That means social media, marketing and, oh yes, accounting. Do email volunteer@cambridge105.co.uk. And that address is also on our website. I'm Julian Clover, and you've been listening to School of Radio.